This is Unleashing Leadership, and I'm your host, Travis Moss, and welcome back to our team interview, where we are talking about our Just Cause project with Kayla and Kirsten. We left off with a discussion about incentives, and today we're going to bridge into advice for other businesses, as we pick up with Kayla and Kirsten talking about how to be inclusive and how to avoid becoming complacent.
I would say that I'd want you guys part of it. And you have to view differently how you see a competitor, because the goal is not to just be like Seed or to do exactly what we did. You have to be willing to get bigger than that and bring those in around us as part of that process too. And rethink how you see what it is you're doing. Like, why are you doing it? Why do you want to do this? You know, and how are you going to bring in those around us to be part of that process to grow?
Wasn't that one of the chapters about understanding your enemy and being able to really figure out, number one, where you are, what it is that they're doing, not necessarily to copy it, but to learn from it, and to learn how to be different, right? Because I always, to your point, Travis, it's not like we're trying to be some huge, I would say, financial firm, but what we are is different. Even before we entered into this whole project about the Just Cause, we're very different. And I think anyone that works with us and for us understands that. The very fact that we have engaged in this exercise with the end goal to enhance the quality and the experience of our clients and their lives is just, it's a big project. I think it's just a big undertaking. But again, another testament to the fact that we're different because we're thinking about it different. We're not all about that bottom dollar. It's about a combination of, you know, experience, clients, employees, and how we can continue to the next iteration of what Seed Planning Group is. And we're building futures of success and happiness, which I think for our clients would lead to peace and confidence, right? Because I think ultimately, if we're able to help them understand those pieces, when you actually look long term, that's what they're doing. When you go to another company, it just depends on where you land in it. They might not have the same culture. They might not be receptive to change. They might not have the same perspective. They might, you know, how do you bring that there? I don't know if you'd be able to. Depending on where they're at and their business cycle and where their vision is and who their leader is. Because I think that that's a huge part of this. When I think back to that chapter that talked about, was it Ford Motor Company who had for that interim piece of year that they had one that just his approach to who he was going to model his business after, which was, you know, stockholders and all that, shift away from the clients and that kind of thing. And then the 180 back after the new president came in, and again, a refocus on, and I also think there was an example that Walmart, they did the same thing where they went back to one of them in their communities. And they were like, no, we don't want any more of this because of the way the business was developing. But then they changed their business model. And it's, again, it depends on who's leading. You have to have a good leader.
I agree. I am. It also made me think of, and I saved and penned the one section where I think it was Apple and IBM. And, you know, they sent a letter saying, welcome, like, welcome to the industry. Welcome to this challenge of, you know, reinventing and connecting people. And, you know, we welcome you into this space. You're not our competition. We're all part of this larger picture. You know, it makes me think of that and just that idea of not only like you have to have that leader that's willing to be, you know, vulnerable and challenged and to relook at how they're doing things and to step back and say, this is going to be uncomfortable, but I'll embrace it. But you also, I think, have to see the vision as I'm welcoming into this space. I'm standing into this space and I'm welcoming who I used to think would be a competition is part of, you know, the adventure and part of going through the process.
If you want to be great, I don't think you should be afraid of other people that want to be great. You know what I mean? Or other, if you want to be a great business, if you're afraid of other great businesses, you're living from a place of fear. I think people who really grow the most normally are the ones who say, who are looking for other people growing like they are. Like, I want to see the other crazy people. Right. And I want to collect those people. I want to bring those people together, because those are the inspiring people. Those are the ones who show you that, well, if they can do it, I can do more. And I think that the answer goes back to that culture, maybe is about perspective. Because if you go into another organization, because I've long thought about this with the financial industry, because here we are in these podcasts and we're talking about our business all the time. And I've always wondered why our competition, especially localized competition, where it's a lot easier to compete with us. And especially with smaller companies that at this point can even be more nimble than us. Although we're pretty darn nimble. But I always wondered why they don't just like listen to what we're doing and go, okay, we're going to rip them off and just go do it. And my realization is that it's culture, it's the perspective of the people. Like, you have to overcome your own limits, you know, just in the idea itself. And be brave enough to say, you know, this could be uncomfortable and I'm going to bring that upon myself. You know, I'm going to do a flex that's going to maybe keep me up a night or two trying to figure out how to solve certain problems and stuff like that, because I know that it's going to make me stronger. And when you do that, you kind of piss a lot of people off too. When you say, I'm going to get better, and somebody says, oh, why can't you just be happy with where you're at? Right? You actually leave people behind every time you flex. You work out too intense. You're too intense about your work. You care too much. You're too nice, whatever. You know, you get people with these excuses all the time about why whatever you're doing, they're mad at you about it. And that is because you're literally flexing. You're growing. And when you grow, it points out other people's inadequacies. Not everybody's going to be able to keep up with you on this journey. You go into another business and you say, hey, this is how the journey works. They're going to have to look around and they're going to have to say probably half the people there aren't going to stay there. Because you are what you collect. If you collect a bunch of people that don't want to grow or don't know how to grow or are not interested in growth or are happy and content where they're at, and the only thing that happens when you bring up change is aggression and frustration and, why are you doing this to me? You know, I was on this path and now you took the path away and everybody becomes a victim. You have to, as a business, be sitting there going, okay, we believe so much in where we're going, you know, that we're willing to go there regardless of who wants to jump ship. And that's where, you know, those flexes come in about how you actually flex. Because if you go and you flex at one time and 80% of your team mutinies, yeah, that maybe, like, I hope you were ready for that, right? Like, maybe start with, like, if the rowboat mutinies, I don't even know if that's the right word, but if they all jump off, okay, it's a rowboat work with people, but we didn't lose the whole ship crew, right? Like, the ship's still going to get back to harbor. But I mean, I think the biggest challenge and why I've never been afraid of talking about this stuff, because I realize most people don't actually want to put this kind of effort and energy every day into something, you know, or they're not in an environment where they've seen it. They're not conditioned for it. So I don't think it's that people don't want to do it, but I think maybe they're not conditioned to it. There's not good examples. We're all like kids. We're looking around going, nobody else I've ever seen has to do this. Why do I have to do it?
I don't care what size company you are though, Travis, whether you're a big one or a small one, and we've seen it time and time again, that if you just stay in a place that's comfortable and it's complacent, then the likelihood of you surviving becomes smaller and smaller, right? Because in the examples of Blockbuster Video, right? When Netflix hit, it's like you either have to get on the train that you're going to change your model or you probably won't be around, and they're not around, right? And I think there were a couple other examples in there. Like, I don't know, the Sears Roebuck catalog. Do you remember how big that was when we were kids? I'm sorry, I'm dating myself, but it was like 3 inches big. And I couldn't wait to get the Sears Roebuck catalog or the Christmas one, right? I wanted everything in it and circled it. But, you know, everything's online now and everything's shopping and everything's, it just doesn't even exist anymore. So just, it's that concept of you need to be aware of how the world is turning and what's going to happen next. Because if you're not, you're going to miss out on opportunities. Some of them can be super obvious and some of them maybe not so much. But if you're asleep at the wheel, definitely going to pass you by.